Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thank you for joining us and welcome. This is the first Sunday of 2026, January 4th. Thanks for joining us. We're entering into a new year. I hope you had a really good Christmas and New Year's, whatever you did. Thankful for you, thankful for being a part of this church family, and we're just excited to see what God's going to do this year, and he'll just continue to be faithful. We know that, and we need to continue to seek him every day. We know that too, but we live in his love and his grace and his mercy, and that means there's always hope, and there's always peace, and there's always joy, and his love never fails. So whatever you're feeling today, whatever you're going through, know that he is with you. We just, finished the Christmas season celebrating Emmanuel, God with us, God who sent a Savior to save us, all of this. Well, that doesn't go away just because it's not Christmas anymore. The beautiful truth is that God continues to go with us every day of our lives into the new year, the new future, whatever it is that he has for you. Just a couple announcements here as we begin. One is all of our programs are starting up again this week. So the midweek and the Breakout and Collide youth groups and then all of our small groups and Sunday school classes, they're all beginning again. If you have a chance this year and desire it, try coming out to one of our men and women's Bible studies or a Sunday school class or something to get deeper connected. If you want to serve in certain ways and wondering how, come and see me. Call me up. Say, I want to stop by. I just want to see how I can get more involved or whatever. But where there's all the different committees, outreach and ministry, missions and food and fellowship and worship and all these places. If you want to serve in a different way or have an idea, we would really love to see you and get you more connected. All right, if you have your Bibles there as we kick off a new year, turn over to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. I'm going to read a scripture here that we're going to focus on over the next 10 to 12 weeks. It's Exodus 20, 1 to 17. This is the Ten Commandments. It says this, "And God spoke these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Well, here we are again at the start of another year. Again, like I said, it's 2026, and this is, this is the first year I'm beginning in my 50s. This is a big deal for me. Some of you who are older than I am still think I'm a kid, but, I don't feel like a kid. I'm getting up a couple times every night, if you know what I mean. I've already had my colonoscopy. I'm wearing bifocals now for the first time, and a few of my chin hairs have gone gray. I could go on. point here is that I'm getting older. Most of my movie and music references now, the confirmation kids just stare at me blankly. They do not understand what I'm talking about. And then those progressive commercials, oh my goodness, they get me. I just love them every time. I just see myself there. But even more than that, though, I realized the other day I've now spent half of my life being a pastor. Almost half of my life married to Carrie. We have our 25th anniversary in a couple months. I've lived some life already. I'm no longer just starting out my race. I'm now quite a few laps around the track. In some ways, I still feel young, but in other ways, kind of old, you know, or at least older. Well, something that hasn't changed about me since I can remember is that I've always liked reflecting on life. I love being in the Word. I love journaling. I love thinking about in Scripture what life is really about and where I'm at and where God wants to grow me next or our church. And especially around Christmas and New Year's time, I just find myself a little more reflective. What's important? What should I remember and work at, look for? And I'll often journal and make a few lists, you know, of things. Let me ask you a question. Are you a person who makes lists? I do. I make lists every day, actually. I live by them. I've got a whole lot of sticky notes. Tobias and Jessica and my family keep telling me, you know, they make an app for that now on your phone. But I like my real physical sticky notes to make lists when I go out for groceries or what I need to do for. I like to make lists. Well, as we begin this new year, now in my 50s and everything, I want to tell you of all the lists that I've thought about, or of all the reflection of life and goals, and that it's really for me all the more coming down to just, what does God say? What does God tell me? What are His goals? What are His goals for me and my family in this church? Because that's what matters. That's what's really important, that I need to know and to live by. Sure, I still kind of like making lists of places that I'd like to see on a vacation someday, maybe, or fun things to do, or maybe even a little more golf this year. But I feel like what God has really been laying on my heart is bringing me back to the basics. You know, the things that He's given me from the beginning. You know, the ancient lists of God that we find in His Word. What God says is important. How God says we're all supposed to live. The things that please God, the desires of His heart for us. You know, God has given us some lists in His Word. We could talk about the 9 fruit of the Spirit, for example, the attitudes that He wants to grow more in us. We could talk about the 8 Beatitudes, the heart of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Or we could spend our time talking about the many spiritual disciplines that are listed out for us in the Word and that Jesus Himself modeled that would be good for us to practice to better abide in Him. Or what about the list we find in 1 Corinthians 13 of what love really is? That could be a good list to study even as a couple in marriage this year. Well, we could, and we may, get to those lists throughout this year. But I have felt the first list that God wanted me to reflect deeper upon and to even preach about was the first list I think we find in the Bible. And that is the 10 Commandments. This is a list. Boy, it's a pretty significant one, wouldn't you say? The 10 Commandments, these were given by God Himself to Moses back in the year about 1500 BC, when there was mostly the worship of false gods going on, but the true God reveals the truth of Himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses. He reveals that there's just one of Him, one God, and then He reveals His commands for His people. And this was a totally new thing back in the ancient world. Of all the false religions that were out there, of all the other nations, no one had something like the Ten Commandments. This type of good moral standard and law to follow, you can't find it back in the religions of that day. In fact, the gods that they worshipped in Egypt and Babylon were these horribly unethical and immoral gods, whereas in the Bible, what we find is the truth of the one God, the real God, that he is holy, and that God is good, and that God is righteous, and he calls us to be holy. He is love and desires us to love. He is faithful and wants us to be faithful. He is honest and trustworthy God, and he wants us to be truthful, and on within the Ten Commandments. You see, what we're learning first is that God is good, and this is what he calls us to be. And these Ten Commandments are both personal, they're moral, but they're also civil. God set forth the commands for his people, the nation of Israel, to follow. And they are how we relate to God and each other. And since God gave these commands, many nations since, including ours, have organized a sense of right and wrong around them. Do you know that back in the Bible times, the Ten Commandments were actually called the Ten Words? If you notice in the scripture I just read from Exodus 20, the first time that they appear in the Bible, it begins with, "And God spoke these words." And from what I have learned, they written on those tablets of stone were only 10 words, one word for each command. In Exodus 20, they're listed out for us in greater detail, but on the stone, just 10 words. And these aren't just Moses' commands, you know, that he gave at a certain time and a place long ago, but these are the commands given, as we read, directly by God. When he spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, the Bible says he was the one, God, who gave the commands. God was the one who actually wrote them on the tablets of stone, and Moses took them down to the people. God gave them, God wrote them, 10 words on two stones, his commandments of what is good and what he asks of us. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 9, verses 9 and 10. Moses is speaking and he says this, "When I went up on the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, I stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water. And the Lord gave me two-toned stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. On them were all the commandments the Lord proclaimed to you on the mountain of the fire on the day of the assembly." So the commandments came directly from God himself, inscribed by his finger, spoken by him, given to us to obey. Boy, I'd say that's a pretty important list. And God gave these Ten Commandments after he delivered his people from bondage, not before. We read in Exodus 19 where it tells us that on the third month after God delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt and parted the sea and brought them into freedom, he led them first to Mount Sinai. Before he would lead them to the promised land, he led them first to Mount Sinai, the place where God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. God led the people there, and Moses went up to speak with God. And God says this in Exodus 19:4. He says, "You've seen now what I did in Egypt, just as I told you beforehand what I was going to do, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself." And God says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you're going to be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Boy, I think this is important. The fact that God saved them first and then commanded them to obey him. That's just like it is with us, isn't it? For us sinners, the Lord saves us on the cross, not because of what we do, but because of his love for us and his grace and his commitment to us, and our faith in him. And then in response to that salvation, He now calls us to live a holy life, to live an obedient life, to be different, to be set apart for him. After Moses came down the mountain and he spoke these words to the people, the Bible says that all the Israelite community there said, "We will do everything the Lord has told us to." Of course, we know the rest of the story. They didn't do everything. Within a day, the Israelites had already broken the commands of God and built a golden calf to worship. And so it shows our fallen nature. We all break the commands of God. There is none of us that is perfect. There's only been one man who has obeyed all the Ten Commandments, and his name is Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God, our Savior. But even though we break the commands, it doesn't mean we just throw out the list and ignore it or think that because we got Jesus, that's not important anymore. No, these commands are still very important to God and should be to us. Not only do they reveal our sin, but teach us more about who God is and what God desires and what is good and what is right and what is true. We should always keep his commands in our heart and life. They're not just 10 suggestions of God. They are 10 commandments of God. And we should care about them because also Jesus taught them and taught us the heart behind every one and the deeper truth of them. And Jesus himself obeyed the commands and called us to. And so over the next 10 weeks, I want to take a week on each commandment and dive deeper into it and all that it means and what Jesus said about it and what it teaches us about who he is and what it looks like for us to not just obey these ancient rules, but these today rules, these forever truth, the way that he wants and puts into our heart to live. Because you see, this is where the commandments belong, right here, not just on a wall, on some civil building, not just printed on a piece of paper hanging in our office, but written on our heart. When God first gave the commandments to Moses, they were just written on tablets of stone carried around in a golden box, the ark. But in Jeremiah 31:33, God promised a Savior would come, save us from our sins, give us the Holy Spirit. And it says this in Jeremiah 31, it says, "I will put my law within them, I will write it on their hearts." The Apostle Paul reminds us of this amazing truth in 2 Corinthians 3:3, when he says, "By the Spirit, we no longer just have God's law on tablets of stone, but we have it written on our hearts." In other words, he who lives within us fulfills the law in us and also by his Spirit helps us to live it, a life pleasing and holy and good. My first trip to Israel, I happened to go when it was Pentecost. Pentecost is a festival each year, probably around June, and we read about it in the Bible, but it is still celebrated by the Jewish people every year, and it remembers the day when God gave the Ten Commandments. Each year, the Jewish people take a day to celebrate when God gave them the law. Well, in Acts 2, we Christians read that it was on the day of Pentecost when God decided to pour out his Holy Spirit on the believers gathered in the upper room. They were filled with the Spirit and went out and began preaching the good news of Jesus. So God sent the Holy Spirit on the very day the people were celebrating the given of the law. I don't think that's a coincidence. Just like it was on Passover when Jesus died for our sins, so too on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. What we are unable to do in our own flesh and strength, God does. We break God's commands, but God in us now helps us to live a more obedient life. Christ not only atones for us where we fail, but the Spirit now enables us to truly live a life pleasing to God. And so the commandments, you see, still teach us who God is and what God cares about and what is good and right and holy and what the Spirit wants to do in us. How we are called to live in this world for him. So I'll begin teaching those specific commands starting next week. But today, I want to just finish by mentioning a few things important for us to know about the Ten Commands. First, if you love the Lord, love his law. Love it. One thing I discovered preparing for this new sermon series was how many times the people of the Bible talked about loving the law. I don't think I've ever talked about loving a law. But the law of God was something different for them. The commandments of God, they had personally received from him. And so they cherished them like a gift. They would refer to the law like we would Jesus. They loved the law. This was what they knew and what they had of God. They cherished his words. Now, I guess in a way, I can relate to this a little in how I feel about the Bible. I love God's word because it's from him. I love his word. The way I spend time with God is often in his word. You know, it's like anyone that you love, I guess. You cherish what they gave you, right? You hold on to that letter that they send to you. You cherish the places you used to go or something that dad said or with my wife, the vows that we spoke to each other and the rings that we gave. So too it was and should be with God's law. What we have is from him, from his heart. It's not just rules to us, but it's from God, his desires and hopes and all that is true. My family passed down to me a love for God's word and for the church and for spending time with his word and in prayer. These are gifts of God. I mean, I wouldn't know God like I know him if it wasn't for his word and prayer. This is how I get to know him and relate and hear his word and voice. I love my Bible because I love God. And what I am saying is that I love his commands because I love God too. And they guide me. Without them, I'd be even more lost. Listen to the verses that speak of the love of God's law. I'll read just a few. There's Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight, his love is in the law of the Lord. On it he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which will yield its fruit in season. Or think of Psalm 119, 9 through 11. It says, how can a young person keep their way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all of my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 47 says, I delight in your commands because I love them. Verse 97 says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. I could read 100 more, but this is the point that I'm seeing is that because I love the Lord, I should love his commands. I should love his word. I should love his law because it's from him. And I know his heart. He didn't give us the law like a mean dictator trying to kill or control my life. He gave us the law because it is life, because it is truth, and it saves me from a whole lot of troubles and brings about good things in my life. And he's my father, and he wants those good things in my life. We need to rethink how we think about God's law and begin to cherish it in our hearts as a great gift from the one who loves us. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commands. Or 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commands, and his commands aren't burdensome. My point is simply this. One way that we love God is to love his commands and to meditate upon them and to think about them and to cherish them as loving gifts from our loving God. Not burdensome rules we're obligated to follow, but first of all, from our Father's heart. Second, we are called to meditate on God's commands, to write them on our forehead, door frames of our house, and to teach them to our kids. God's commandments and his word has to be something we keep putting before us, practically applying every day, something we think about and talk about and to put into practice. We cannot just open our Bibles once a year and think that they will change us or affect us that way. Or just turn to God in the times that we're in need or find ourselves in trouble. We can't just hope that our kids are going to turn out okay or do what is right. We have to teach them what God says is right. We have to all figure out how we're going to do life with the scripture being more a part of our everyday and letting God's commands always be in front of us begin to shape us and guide us. I love Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and all your might. And these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the very door frames of your houses and on your gates." I also love there in Joshua 1, 7 and 9, where it says, "Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from to the right or the left so that you might be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." We all know this. What we think about most, what we listen to over and over again, begins to shape us. So Christian meditation is not like Eastern meditation, where you're trying to empty your mind. Christian meditation is filling our mind with God's thoughts and God's word over and over again, letting it renew our mind and shape our attitudes and behaviors. And that is why we don't need the latest book or newest sermon idea. We just need more of his word, reminding us of God's heart every day, his priorities, his commands, his love. We can't leave it up to the world to teach our kids. His word has got to become a more regular part of how we just do life and family, how our kids learn what's really right and wrong and who God really is and what God really has said. As important as feeding your kids and loving your kids and educating your kids is, so too is shaping their heart and faith and understanding of God according to his word. This is up to us parents. If we don't do it, the world will, and it won't be good. What if you were to read the Ten Commandments each month as a believer or as a family? Or what if you tried to memorize a chapter out of the Bible together, or read a chapter from the gospel every night at dinner? Or as your kids get older, you know, you could try to read through the Bible in a year and talk about it during the week, or a psalm a day. You know, at the times, maybe there's times where you don't think you're getting much out of it, you know. But it is shaping your heart and your mind as you put it in front of you. God says, write it on your foreheads, on your door frames. Talk about it as you go out and as you sit at home. Third thing, though, that we can learn here is let the God's law be a mirror for you to truly see your sin and need for Christ. In James 1:23, it says, "The law of God is like a mirror that reveals who we really are." Because in the face of God and his will, we see how we have fallen short. We see our sin. You know, maybe if we look around at the world, we think we're a pretty good person, you know. But when we look upon the face of God, and in light of his holiness, we realize that we aren't. In fact, we wouldn't even know that we're sinners if it wasn't for the perfect law and word of God. God's word is like putting a mirror up to our face where we can now see our need. Billy Graham used to always say this, that the Ten Commandments represented the perfection of God, and we've broken all of them, all of them. He said only one man kept them all, his name Jesus. And in the commandments, we see that we're a sinner, and so we turn to seek his forgiveness. He gives it to us, to all who confess their sins and believe in him. When I read the Bible, it cuts me to the heart. God always seems to lead me to what I need to hear. You know, just like after that selfish argument maybe I had with Carrie, it seems like the scripture the next day is all about love and grace and gentleness or something like that, that I definitely need to hear what God is saying to me. The Spirit takes the word and teaches me to reveal to me the covetousness of my own heart or my pride or whatever. Today, you know, it's like in our world, we all just are seeking affirmation for our life. You know, we want everybody to feel good all the time and never have to deal with any bad feelings of themselves or guilt or shame. But Adam and Eve were ashamed of their sin in the garden, and we should be ashamed of our sin. We are guilty, yet God still loves us and sent his son to save us. But the word of God, you see, doesn't always just affirm our choices. No, the word of God isn't to affirm us. It is to correct us, rebuke us, and lead us to our Savior. Don't read the word of God for affirmation. Read it for transformation. Read the commands of God and let them draw you first to Jesus for salvation, and then to help by his Spirit to readjust your life to what he commands. The commands are to be a mirror to lead us to him. And then lastly, what we read is that the commands should always, when we read them, we should always think about what Jesus said about them, how they are summed up in this: to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when Jesus said this, he didn't mean the Ten Commandments are no longer important. Just love God and love your neighbor, and you'll be fine. Jesus didn't come to replace or abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. What Jesus meant by saying this was that the commands reveal the heart of God and how we can love God best and how we truly do love our neighbors. It's summed up for us in this. And it is the motivation even that we have for obedience is because we love God, we want to obey him. Jesus is reminding us by saying the greatest command is to love God and others. He's reminding us the why and the main point behind the commands, that we shouldn't just be doing rules without any love or consideration of God or others, outwardly religious but hearts far from him. No, the commandments of God should lead us to the heart of God and should be done from our heart because we love God and trust him, we obey, and want what is best for others, not just ourselves. We aren't justified by our obedience to the commands. We're justified in Christ, but we should still care about the commands and obey them because we love God most and we want to live a life that pleases him. And so in view of his mercy, we offer our lives for his purposes and we trust him and we know his way is better. The commandments become this heart thing, the way we love God and others, only to find also the hidden blessing they are to us. So in the weeks to come, we're going to dig deeper into the commandments of God that were once written on tablets of stone, now written upon our hearts. We who have been saved by God in Christ are now sent out into the world to live a new life. And he shows us how. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.